I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You wouldn't expect to find conversations about sex, and especially that sex work is work, in a magazine designed for teenagers, Teen Vogue. Dr. Tlaling Mofokeng writes, "I do not believe it is right or just that people who exchange sexual services for money are criminalized, and I'm not for what I do." She goes on to say, what exactly is sex work? Not all sex workers engage in penetrative sex, though undeniably that is part of sex work. Sex work services between consenting adults may include companionship, intimacy, non-sexual role-playing, dancing, escorting, and stripping. These roles are often predetermined, and all parties should be comfortable with them. She goes on to say that she finds it interesting that as a medical doctor, I exchange payment in the form of money with people to provide them with advice and treatment for sex-related problems, therapy for sexual performance, counseling and therapy for relationship problems, and treatment of sexual transmitted infection. And she says, isn't this basically sex work? Well, the reaction to these series of articles in the Vogue has been compelling, and people are somewhat shocked and are asking, what are we actually doing? A great article appeared in the National Review, and Declan Leary, the contributing writer for the Review, joins us on the line. Declan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for having me on.
So, Declan, your reaction to this in the headline of your article is that this support of sex work in Teen Vogue is not only delusional, but it's dangerous. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So we see increasingly in states and nations that legalize sex work that the abuse that we find in criminalized sex work doesn't go away. It just becomes normalized, and it's allowed to flourish in a legalized and regulated framework. So to encourage legalization in the United States, especially in a publication intended for teenage girls who are about to enter the workforce and will now see this as a legitimate option for employment when they become adults, is absolutely dangerous because it encourages the kind of normalization of the abuse inherent in the industry that we see in legalized states like Germany.
And what exactly are the studies revealing of what's going on there?
Well, the most important thing is that legalized sex work encourages human trafficking. Especially in Germany, we've just found that the largest brothel proprietor in Germany, Jürgen Rudloff, who owned multiple brothels, the largest which Paradise in Stuttgart, was heavily associated with human trafficking gangs and pimps bringing women in, young vulnerable women from Africa and from Eastern Europe. And these women were effectively in sex slavery. But they were able to work in this industry in Germany because Germany had legalized. And it created this marketplace that basically served as a magnet for the abuse of women from all over the world to take place in a largely accepted framework within Germany.
So not unlike every other economic situation, the economic theory of supply and demand. You create the demand by legalizing this. You need to have the supply.
Exactly. Yep.
And so what we see there is they have to go to the extremes in some cases, because it ultimately ends up becoming so popular that they start importing the talent, for lack of a better term, or the young ladies at that point in order to meet the demand.
Yes, exactly. And there's proportional to the size of the population, the sex industry in Germany, where it's legalized, is more than twice as large as the sex industry in the United States underground.
So when you talk about Germany as it relates to the U.S. and its size, it pales.
Absolutely.
But yet, because of the legalization of this industry, it would far exceed what the problem or the challenge that we have dealing with this industry today.
Yes.
So when we talk about this particular doctor that writes this article is a strong supporter and activist on reproductive rights. And there's been any number of a string of articles that have been posted in Teen Vogue. Have you seen others that cause you concern?
Yeah, there's a lot of supportive coverage of sex work in Teen Vogue. They're clearly trying to sort of normalize it and to present often specific examples. Cardi B, the rapper, has been featured multiple times in coverage of her former sex work. And they really present her to these young women and young girls who are reading the publication as a sort of positive role model, an empowering feminist role model, because her sex work allows her to reclaim power from men. And that I think is the clearest example of their previous coverage. But it's certainly a type of story and a type of analysis that's become common at Teen Vogue.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem that the other side of the frailties of the industry, the danger of the industry, the minimization of women within the industry for the most part, when I say for the most part, meaning women as opposed to male prostitutes. Mm-hmm. But every now and again, they do have a story about, and you talk about this in your article, you know, they have a story that's presented and it's shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that story.
Yep. So there's one, I believe it's actually the earliest of the stories in Teen Vogue that's tagged as sex work. But it's an interview with an activist and former sex worker named Ashley Marie Preston. And this person just talks about what the experience actually was like working in sex work, and just the fear and the feelings of abuse and the obvious pain that comes with working in the industry that never goes away. And there's a clear disconnect between that reality. And this is the only piece of coverage in Teen Vogue that actually comes from someone who has real firsthand experience with the industry. And you see the tragedy and the horror and the inherent abuse, whereas in the secondhand opinion analysis that comes from some South African doctor who's convinced that she's making the world a better place is completely disconnected from the reality present in Preston's interview.
Unlike what you saw in the movie The American Gigolo, I mean, there are certain degrees of this sex industry, and obviously in this particular case, she was a street hooker, right?
Yes.
And she goes on to say, and I just have to read it, the whole time she walks up to a car and strikes the deal, and she says, the whole time it was happening, I just stared into the rearview mirror trying to think about anything else, trying not to cry because I didn't want to make him angry. I just looked into the reflection of my own eyes and prayed for it to be over. I didn't even know how much to ask for. He paid me $40, which, as I would later learn, was the middle class of street economy. Some girls were out there doing the full experience for $20. You know, it's often that we don't present both sides and we don't have the degrees and we sensationalize, like you talked about with Cardi B. For every one of those, there's 100 or 1,000 of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be a very one-sided, kind of almost demented viewpoint that's presented in these articles in Teen Vogue.
Absolutely. And you have to wonder if Flailing Mofokeng ever read this piece on Ashley Marie Preston, because I can't imagine having faced that reality, she would have been so naive and so destructive as to present the delusional substitute for it that she did in her piece.
Yeah, you have one statement in your article that I thought sums it up perfectly. It says this notion that Ms. Mofokeng talks about, it instrumentalizes and dehumanizes people in the most extreme manner possible.
Mm-hmm.
your thoughts behind your statement there.
Absolutely. I mean, the basic principle behind it is that, you know, taking vulnerable people and pushing them into work where they get paid to have sex with strangers, regardless of whether that's illegal or not, that's a manipulative system, and that's going to be dangerous and harmful to the young girls and women who are working in that system, and to young men. There are plenty of males who are forced into this work as well. And the idea that just...
Well, they say that young men is the fastest growing sector of the industry today. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I believe that's true. So that's certainly an area worth talking about. And there's this idea among the legalize and regulate crowd that if you just make it a legal practice, then it's going to turn into this, you know, high class $500 an hour escorts that you see in the movie. But as we see in the uncovering of the rampant abuse in Germany, that's just not true. You end up with the same abuses in an illegal system, just on a much larger scale, because like you said, you've created the demand for it.
Yeah. You know, it'd be interesting to see what parents' reaction would be if their kid came home and said that on career day they were going to announce that they wanted to be a prostitute.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting seeing the responses from people who identified as parents to that Teen Vogue article. You know, for the most part, they were all horrified, of course. I think any sensible person would be. But there were plenty of people who were defending it and saying, well, I want my children faced with these issues. I think we need to...
But do you think faced with these issues is synonymous to making the choice to be that issue? I don't think so.
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a distinction to be made there, but we're really straddling the line with the Teen Vogue coverage.
Sure.
The positive coverage, it doesn't just present the conversation. It absolutely presents a clear point of view in favor of the industry.
Yeah, it's some of the most manipulative writings that I've... When I looked at these series of articles, I'm socially moderate. Mm. I'm out, you know, conservative fiscally. But I read these articles like, oh, this is such a one-sided dimension of this industry. I used to be the sheriff in this area, and have been mm-hmm. in law enforcement 40 years. You probably don't know that about me. But I read this, and I'm saying, I've seen the underbelly of this industry day in and day out. It's not anything of what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just shocking. Declan, do I understand this correct? You're in college now?
Yes, I am.
And you write for... And you pick up issues like this and find these story trends and write about that as well?
Yep.
Well, it's been really nice to have you on. I truly appreciate your time. Great article, by the way.
Thank you.
I thought you had some very incisive thoughts about where Teen Vogue is going with their coverage of this issue. Declan Leary, contributing writer for the National Review, thanks so much. We truly appreciate your time.
Thanks, Neil. It was great talking to you.
All righty. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Want to hear from you. 260-1870 or text 870-870. Pull this series of articles down, folks. If you don't have an aha moment and shake your head, I don't know what will. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back, and on an opinion piece done in... USA Today, an opinion contributor writes, on career day, no young girl should say, I want to be a prostitute. And they cover a little story about a young girl, and I'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, there's a representation made here that I think is spot on. And the characterization of prostitution to young readers, like in Teen Vogue, a teen magazine, as a mere career choice as valid as any other, in my view, is a little demented and kind of out there. And it doesn't really, series of articles don't really present the frailties of this industry. And you know, the opinion writer goes on to say, nestled between teen-friendly fluff pieces on fashion tips and celebrity tidbits, the column compared selling your body for cash to the practice of medicine, just another profession, just another choice. And it goes on to say that supporting prostitution is described as the litmus test for intersectional feminism. When you think about it, the author even goes out and asks, am I a sex worker? And in some ways, aren't we all? Have you ever characterized yourself as a sex worker? I'm not sure I understand where we're going with this argument and this notion of intersectional feminism, meaning that, you know, the traditional feminist issues that has predominantly been white female dominated is no longer acceptable, that we have to reach out and understand every proclivity of females. And one might ask, is that, are we asking about what every perversion of every individual may be and whether or not consent to that preferred perversion would make it a legitimate occupation and or industry? Let's go to line one, talk to Dennis out on Michoud Boulevard. What say you, Dennis?
Hey, no, how are you?
Good.
First of all, I'd like to ask you a question. I don't know if I missed it. I might have tuned in a little late. But do you support legalization of prostitution?
No. I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, I've seen the underbelly of the industry. I think you make the challenges of enforcement and regulatory issues even more complex and complicated than they already are.
And do you think that it can actually be controlled and enforced?
Well, there's several studies out there that a large proportion of those engaged in the industry don't want it legalized because they don't want to pay. They don't want to pay taxes on their income. It's kind of an underground society, so no one's claiming. No one's claiming on their tax form that they earned $100,000 selling their body.
Well, that's sort of like saying
it's a cash
can
business.
Can I get in?
Yes, go ahead.
Can
I'm
I get in here?
Sure.
That's sort of like saying if I'm selling blue crabs under the table and all of a sudden they want to legalize blue crabs, I'm going to be against that. You know, they don't want the competition. I'm of the opinion that I don't support legalization and I don't support trying to enforce illegalization. I have to remind you that you're talking about the world's oldest profession.
Yeah,
and
I think
we waste a lot of money trying to control it.
You know what one of the second oldest professions is? Selling drugs.
Yeah, what is that?
Selling drugs. That's nothing new.
I happen to be pro-drug. I think there's got to be a limit.
You and I happen to disagree then. Got to get to a break. Dennis, thanks so much for the call. We'll be right back. We'll continue this conversation when we return. This is Newell on WWL. A lot of folks texting in and saying this is very similar to legalization of marijuana. That, you know, this is something that there should not be a legal impediment from. It's funny, though, if you read the article, one of the other things that she says is this Dr. Mofeking is saying is that the internet makes dabbling in sex safer for women. These dating apps and negotiating sexual deals on the internet makes this whole environment much safer for women, and creates this juxtaposition to working on the streets where, you know, being harassed by the police is a big deal. I mean, the message that we're sending 13, 14, and 15-year-olds when you read these articles you know, and this notion of purchasing intimacy, and then saying that you could have long-standing emotional and psychological bonding that starts out out of a sex deal. Well, the likelihood of that is probably not very likely. I'd love to see a human sexuality, you know, story or study, excuse me, done on that situation, and whether or not that increases the likelihood of that ultimately happening, for one. I'm not sure. Let's go to David and Slidell. What say you, David?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, and you?
All right. Well, my question was, are we going in a backward state here? Like, we have all these problems with accusations for sex-related crimes. Now, is prostitution now giving that an okay?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's become an issue in any number of campaigns across the country, but by the same notion, you have a number of Democratic candidates that are promoting the legalization of prostitution. And there's a whole list of legalization, of decriminalization, because there's this notion out there that we have over-criminalized everything. I don't necessarily believe that. I think there's some right-sizing to do as it relates to punishment, and I've said that over and over and over again, but I don't think it's over-criminalization.
Yes, sir.
You know, I don't know where we go and you know, where the dividing line is, that in a teen magazine where the audience is like 12 to 18, that we're talking about and promoting that sex work is real work and it's a career choice for young ladies. I don't know about you, but I just see a problem with that. Because in almost every state in this country, with just a one, there may be another state that allows it, but I know one for sure, Nevada, and it's only allowed in certain counties within Nevada. It's not allowed, I don't believe, statewide. It's legal, and we're talking about this being a career choice. Really? I don't get that. But, you know, maybe someone else gets it, because I can't figure it out, and why we would not want to have more pushback, you know, on this. And, you know, one of the other articles talks about the article is entitled About Protection, Consent, and What Queer Sex Means. And the basic sum of the article is that sex education in high schools today is not broad enough in dealing with any number of sexual activities and sexual situations that folks find themselves in based on their individual proclivities. Separate and apart from just talking about gender. So it's almost as if they're advocating that we have a what's your perversion circle talk in high schools and middle schools at that young age moving forward. And when you read these articles, it's kind of interesting as to where they say are the deficiencies in how we're ending up talking about sex. First, that it should be protected and a career choice. Second, that when we're talking about sex education in the schools, that we're not talking about it in a broad enough way, that we need to get broader and more incisive about all of the opportunities available to one in that situation, whether it be, male-female, male-male, female-female, and just talk about the whole plethora of those issues in our sex education classes for our kids, starting at age 12. In fact, in one school, they had a competition as to who could put on a condom faster. That was actually a competition in a school. I don't know where this all ends, but maybe at some point in time you're going to have an on-campus internship to be a sex worker because it's real. And maybe someone's going to promote that as being a way to deal with date rapes on the universities, because that will offer prostitution services and the university can make money off of it. You tell me. I'm just thinking out loud, trying to figure out, where does this end? Where are we going from here? It seems to me that we're getting in mighty, dangerous, slippery slope territory. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Want to hear from you. 260-1870 or text 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. If your child came home and said that this was going to be the career of their choice and that's what they aspire to be, and let's say they're 14 or 15, would love to hear what your advice would be. I get a lot of texts, people saying, well, you know, it's the oldest occupation in the world and it's been around, you know, forever and a day, and I don't see the problem with it. So let's personalize it. Your 15-year-old reads this article, starts chatting about it on the internet, Snapchat, whatever, Twitter, whatever they do at that age, however they communicate, because they only hang out nowadays. And it becomes the center of the conversation. And some of the boys and some of the girls in this chat group decide, you know what? I think Dr. Mofa King is right. I think sex work is real work. And I'm intrigued by this notion. And because everyone's talking about having this open and transparent relationship with their parents, which is a very good thing, and I believe in that, your child comes home and says, I don't really need to go to college. I've learned enough about basic economics to support the occupation of my choice. And you're sitting there as the parent with bated breath, wondering, what is this going to be? And you say, well, sweetheart, tell me, or son, tell me, what is the occupation of your choice? Well, mom, dad, I've decided that I want to be a prostitute. Now, how many teeth fall out of your mouth when your jaw hits the floor? That's what I want to hear. We're all talking around the issue, and it's the same as taxes. Don't tax you. Don't tax me. Tax the guy under the tree. It's great to talk about it in the abstract, well, it's everybody else, and not think that one day it comes knocking on your doorstep. And maybe your daughter comes home with a nice purse. Well, honey, where'd you get the money for this? Well, Dad, I read this article in Teen Vogue, and I started thinking about it. My friends started thinking about it, and we started engaging in sex for money on the internet because they said it was safer on the internet. So we started screening people and engaging in sex on the internet. And now I can get all of those things that you haven't been able to give me. And this is great. This is the occupation that I choose for myself. This is what I want to do. Because unfortunately in these articles, they don't talk about much on the underbelly side of this industry where the street hookers are hustling it for $20 or $40 a trick. And they're living out of a commune more so than anything else, because they can't really afford, because they need to be protected. So their pimp they're paying off protects them because of the trials and tribulations and the challenges of being out on the street and not knowing the knucklehead that you may be engaging with day in and day out. So how does that work? Let's go to Jay and Slidell. What say you, Jay?
Well, I do think it's wrong for them to promote this in Teen Vogue But prostitution in general has been around forever. You're never going to stop it. And I think it is a matter of personal freedom and liberty.
Let me ask you something, Jack. Since we developed highways in this country, we've had a speed limit. And we've enforced speeding. And, you know, we do so for any number of safety reasons or otherwise, but we're never going to get rid of people that don't speed. So should we just get rid of speed limits?
No, but this is different.
How about running yellow lights or stop signs? Like, you know, people, we got a lot of people stop signs.
No, it's apples and oranges, okay? This has been going on since the beginning of money, okay, and maybe even before money.
Okay, so that makes it apples and human behavior and frailties of human behavior.
Morality. What's moral to you? Is it moral to someone else, Newell?
Well, I'm trying to remove the morality issue of it, just talking about the fact that, so let's just talk about what people's human behavior when they don't follow rules.
Okay, well, some rules, to me, invade on someone's personal liberty and choice. If the government is going to be involved in anything to do with prostitution, it should regulate it so it's safer, so that disease aren't being spread. And you see, if you keep a black market for this, this is how a lot of these women wind up being killed, not unlike
the marijuana industry. You think the black market on this is going to go away if you legalize it?
Well, it will diminish significantly. Okay.
You think so?
And
that's what they said. That's what they said in the marijuana industry, and what's being revealed now in Colorado, California, Oregon, and Washington. To the contrary, the black market is bigger than it's ever been.
Well, I don't know why that is, but I can almost guarantee you with prostitution that if it were regulated and legal, look at the models in Nevada. Okay.
Right.
You know, do you think there's a black market for prostitution in Reno?
Absolutely.
No. There,
have you
like it is everywhere else?
Have you talked to the police in Reno and Las Vegas?
Well, I haven't personally talked to them.
I have. I've sat next to the sheriff in Vegas many years ago on a committee. It is not done away with the black market of prostitution.
I didn't say it was going to do away with it, okay?
Minimized it either, because you've created a demand and there's a limited supply. But the demand far outweighs the supply. There's an expectation when you go there that you can get it anywhere, and that's not how it works.
The demand is going to be there regardless, Noel. You got to do what you can to make it as safe as you can, because you're not going to stop the behavior.
The demand is going to be there. It's the question of the risk, of whether or not you're willing to take the risk knowing that there's the sanction because of the violation of the law. And that is what has had more of the tampering effect on it than anything else, is the risk.
I don't agree with that, Noel. Look at some of these videos.
Well, then you don't agree with deterrence. Deterrence is the fear of apprehension and detention.
Because it should be about personal freedom, Noel. This shouldn't be something that you can say you can't do this if it's two consenting adults.
What else should two consenting adults be able to engage in?
Anything they want to, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else or cause them too much harm. Okay,
so if it's good for them, it's got to be good for the community at large and everything else. That's where we move apart on this issue, Jay. I mean, the balance of the interest, it just goes right out of the window. The individual's interest outweighs the entity, which is the community that you live in. And, you know, all of that is okay because it's your individual right. And that's where we depart, because then you start to break down
an ordered
and structured society.
Whatever.
I get it. Jake, thank you so much for calling. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Percent of the respondents say that Teen Vogue article promoting the theory that sex work is work is not appropriate for teens. And I couldn't agree more. Let's go to James out in Metro. What say you, James?
Well, thank you very much, Newell. I called up about, I mean, I initially with the screen of one thing, but you did mention sex education. I have an idea for a show, because it's my understanding that in our wonderful conservative state of Louisiana, that students do not receive comprehensive sex education because the prohibitionists, you know, the ones who gave us alcohol prohibition and other things that they don't like, have gone to the legislature and apparently limited what can be taught in the schools. And what can be taught in the schools is only, as I understand it, abstinence. And abstinence does not, you know, that's like...
Abstinence being taught in a school is not actually true. But where is it more appropriate? Is it more appropriate for your school system to decide or for you as a parent?
Well, there are a lot of parents who are incapable of doing it.
That's not the question. Where is it more appropriate? There are a lot of educators that are incapable of doing it appropriately.
If the parent is capable of doing it well, is informed, and is capable of articulating it correctly to the student, that's the ideal situation. But we live in a non-ideal world.
Right, so and we make it more ideal by having teachers teach it in the school.
It's done all over the country.
And who chooses what curriculum and who chooes what they want their child exposed to?
We have to develop a consensus, but right now we have nothing but just...
What would your consensus be?
My consensus would be look around the country, look around the world, and see what does work, what is successful. Because apparently we have some of the highest rates of sexual diseases among young people in the entire country. It's not working, Newell.
Well, I don't know about that. I'd have to look at that study. You may be right, but I don't think that's going to be the indicator as to how we go about handling it. Thanks for calling, James.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.